This is KVNF Regional News. I'm Patricia Naft. It's Wednesday, March 26th. The Bureau of Land Management recently released the latest draft of its resource management plan for the Colorado River Valley area. The plan covers more than 500,000 acres in Mesa, Pitkin, Garfield, Eagle, and Rout counties. The agency says the new plan balances oil and gas development with other uses and protects wildlife habitat and sensitive resources. KDNK's Ed Williams has more.
The BLM's new resource management plan will serve as a blueprint for land management decisions that the agency's Colorado River Valley Field Office will make over the next 15 to 20 years. It's a document the agency has been working on since 2007 and includes roadmaps for motorized travel on public lands and rules for dealing with oil and gas development, policies that could have an impact on the ongoing standoff between conservationists and energy companies over gas drilling in the Thompson Divide. Sloan Shoemaker is executive director at Wilderness Workshop, the Carbondale-based conservation group that was one of the principal commentators on the resource management plan's previous draft. He says the new plan could also impact recreational activities on such areas as Red Hill, the Crown, and the Lorax Trail.
And all of these are affected by the decisions that BLM is going to be making. From a more global perspective, the plan that BLM has been operating under is very, very old. There have been a lot of changes that have occurred in the meantime, and the plan was just simply flat-footed in dealing with these, you know, with the changes that have occurred around here. And those changes include the explosion of recreation and the explosion of natural gas development. And so this new plan is hopefully going to, you know, provide the tools and the teeth for BLM to start addressing some of these management challenges that the growth in this area has brought about.
Wilderness Workshop hasn't yet had a chance to review the policy specifics outlined in the new plan. The BLM will release its finalized resource management plan after its comment period ends in late April. For KDNK News, I'm Ed Williams.
State lawmakers are hoping Colorado won't lose any of its military presence within the next round of base closures being discussed. As Benta Berkland reports, a bipartisan proposal is making its way through the State House to make the case for keeping Colorado off the chopping block.
Lawmakers are concerned about the nation's shrinking defense budget and what it could mean for Colorado and the state's overall economy.
If we weren't concerned, we wouldn't be pushing for an objective analysis.
Senate Minority Leader Bill Cabman from Colorado Springs is sponsoring a bill that would commission a study on how much the military impacts Colorado.
To make the case that there's a lot more to the military presence in Colorado than just an economic impact. I mean, it's quality of life, it's families, it's the history of training. What we're trying to do is find a very broad-based assessment of what the military means to Colorado, but frankly, what Colorado brings uniquely.
The U.S. Department of Defense is expected to conduct another round of base closures in 2016. Colorado's study would cost $300,000 and be complete by April 15th of next year. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Five bills designed to update telecom law debuted in committee yesterday. Several statewide public interest groups will testify against them. They say the bills would steal from funds that give telephone service in rural areas to subsidize the build-out of broadband infrastructure. From KGNU, Gavin Dahl reports.
Kelly Fritz from AARP Colorado says her organization is opposed to four of the bills, HB 1328, 29, 30, and 31.
AARP represents 650,000 members in the state of Colorado. Over two-thirds of folks over the age of 65 rely on landline telephone service. So that's why this is such a big issue for our membership. They rely on their landline for home security systems, for life-saving devices, for generally their whole connection to the world.
For 86-year-old retired Colonel Dave Hughes, honored as a wireless internet pioneer by the Electronic Frontier Foundation back in the 1990s, protecting plain old landline telephone access is not just good public policy, it's personal.
I have a defibrillator. Cost $45,000 to put it in my chest. It is connected to a device by Medtronics. I am compelled to have a second telephone that has dial tone, even in Colorado Springs. So if the wireless meters reading my defibrillator say that I'm having a crisis, that goes to my heart surgeon in Memorial Hospital. People that have heart monitors or body monitors are going to need dial-up.
One of the proposed bills, HB 1331, would totally deregulate phone companies. And if consumers encounter poor service or billing errors on their old-fashioned landlines or with new voice-over internet protocol, they'll no longer be able to seek redress through the Public Utilities Commission. Currently, half of all complaints received by the Colorado PUC are phone service related. Kelly Fritz says some specific changes could make the other broadband bills work, but AARP Colorado is against 1331 no matter what.
Really, no consumer group ever brings this kind of legislation forward. It's always being brought forth by the phone companies or the cable companies. I think that it's being sold as competition is in the best interest of the consumer. In most cases, that probably is the case, but in this particular situation, deregulation has never brought down the price of phone service. Basically, every time we see deregulation in states, two things happen. Prices go up and there's questionable service. Most recently, California, they deregulated their telephone market in 2006, and consumers were told that it would improve service and reduce prices. That didn't happen. The monthly cost of measured service increased by 260%.
The National Science Foundation funded years of Dave Hughes' investigations into innovative ways to deliver broadband to rural areas like the San Luis Valley. Even in his retirement, his dream is true universal service. But he says passing along high-cost phone service funds to broadband and DSL providers is not the answer.
You know, the public interest is not necessarily done by just by having competition. The diversion of money to, quote, increase competition will not guarantee that everybody in Colorado is connected, either by voice or by data or for medical or for emergency. They don't give a damn about what's going on in the San Luis Valley, you know, or out on the plains. And I do not agree with moving the money until there is absolute 100% connectivity by broadband, wireless or wired, to every citizen in Colorado.
Recently, Federal Communications Commission Chairman Tom Wheeler pointed out that municipal and county governments are key players in delivering high-speed internet connectivity. Unfortunately, back in 2005, Colorado passed a law written by Quest, now CenturyLink, that all but prohibits local governments from providing high-speed internet. Dave Hughes was one of that bill's most outspoken critics, too. For Colorado AARP's Kelly Fritz, more widespread broadband adoption is a win. But the devil's in the details. She and other watchdogs argue there's no reason reliable landline service and consumer protections like oversight by the Public Utilities Commission must be traded away in order to foster broadband expansion.
The issue is the money that they're using to expand broadband comes at the expense of reliable landline service. They could find another funding stream other than landline maintenance. I think we'd be very supportive of it.
For KGNU, I'm Gavin Dahl.
Stay tuned for the Wednesday Morning Music Mix with Jeff Reynolds. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.